The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Meaning Movement Podcast, a show about work worth doing. I'm your host, Dan Cumberland. Hey, everybody. I am back after a small break and just very excited to be with you today. Ileana Haberman is an artist, and I think first and foremost, that's the word that stays with me as I reflect on the conversation that I had with her. She's just such a great example of someone who loves to create and has found a way to create a life that supports and sustains her and gives her space to make the kinds of things that she wants to make. I hope that you'll enjoy this conversation as much as I did. I hope that you'll find Ileana's perspective on life and work and meaning refreshing. So you're listening to the Meaning Movement Podcast, a show about work worth doing. I'm your host, Dan Cumberland. I'm so excited to have you here with us. If this is your first time listening or your 100th time listening, make sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening to this podcast, in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever it might be. And if you have a quick second, leave a rating and review. Those both your subscription as well as your rating and review are what help people like yourself find this show. So without further ado, just a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll get right into it. This episode of the Meaning Movement Podcast, like most episodes, is made possible by The Calling Course. We all reach points in our lives when we begin asking questions about who we are, what we want to do, and how we spend our time. My hunch is that if you're listening to this podcast, you have an interest in those kinds of questions. If that's true, then The Calling Course is for you. It's a self-paced course I created to help you go from wherever you are to having a better sense of the work that you want to do, whether that be in your job or outside of your job, taking you to the next level as far as your sense of purpose, fulfillment, and satisfaction in your work and everyday life. I only open The Calling Course for registration a couple times a year, but the good news is you can get started for free today with a mini course called 5 Clues to Your Calling over at thecallingcourse.com. Just go to thecallingcourse.com, put in your info, and you'll get that mini course delivered straight to your inbox. I'd love to have you join us. Now back to the show. Ileana, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the Meaning Movement Podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So the question that I like to begin with is, how do you begin to talk about what you do in the world?
Well, I have a very hard time talking about what I do in the world. I like to be quiet about it, but secretly, I just hope someone asks me about it all the time. These days, I would say I'm learning to be a comic artist, which is really exciting. And then I could go on and on and on about all of the things that are involved there. It's been a wild ride. But depending on who it is, if it's someone that I think might enjoy being entertained a little bit, I would tell them that I mostly embroider my nude body. Like, it's a really, really nice response, either of horror or intrigue. So then I go from there.
I love that. It's definitely, definitely not the response that pretty much anyone would anticipate.
Yeah, it can be very awkward.
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, I can tell. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you think of yourself as an artist first and foremost?
Yes, now. I do now. I think secretly I've always wanted to, but it comes with all this pretentious outsider just assumptions that it makes me a pretentious human, where I'm saying what I have to say or what I have to make is important and you should look at it. It's hard to do that, and it's hard to take up that space. So it's definitely been a journey of the last maybe 7 years more intensely, maybe 10 years. I've been out of college 10 years. So just trying to be more open about that part of my life has been tricky, but definitely that is the one identifier in my life that I really enjoy. The rest of them, I don't really love the rest of the labels assigned to me, but I love that one.
I love how much you love that one.
Yes, everything else is problematic, but good.
We're good. Yeah. Great. So we've started off at a good place. I'd love to hear some of the journey into owning that for you.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it in the last week and wondering if you were going to ask me about this.
Oh.
And it's struck me that it's shockingly linear in retrospect. So I graduated college 10 years ago and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. So I picked up a needle and thread and started embroidering my naked body, mostly because it was funny. And at that time, I was also kind of exploring and embracing my queer identity and getting into relationships. And so the artwork kind of turned into like exploring my experiences of sweet romantic moments. And it was really the only way that I was able to express how I was feeling about these relationships. So then they were less about what's funny and more about, I don't have the words to say how much I'm appreciating this experience, so I'll just make an embroidery about it. And so that is kind of what the first maybe 5 or 6 years were. And then I got married, and then my marriage fell apart very dramatically. And so the embroidery was again where I went to. So then the embroideries were all about grief and betrayal and all these things that kept being the place where I would put these emotions I didn't really know how to talk about.
Yeah.
Luckily, I've been learning how to talk about them. And so when I got divorced and I realized how much I wasn't talking about the hard things in my life, I did a 180 and I started writing a graphic memoir about divorce and cheating and betrayal, which I just am finishing up right now. And it's very honest. And I do know how to talk about the things that are hard for me. And so I just had a embroidery show a few months ago, and it was this new series about the same process. But even though it's still where I put all of those hard feelings or good feelings, the intense emotions, I was at least able to be honest about what they were about this time. So it's been interesting. Like, I'm feeling an intense thing. I don't know how to talk about it. I'll just embroider it. And then I kind of know what it was about, but I won't tell anyone. And then I feel private about it. And now I'm just putting everything out there all the time. And I think that has a lot to do with really trying to embrace being an artist. And then this other cool thing happened, which is that I go by my middle name, which is the name that I always assigned to my artist self. And about 2.5 years ago, I just started going by this name. And so all of these parts are more integrated now. So it seems very linear to be like,
yeah.
Then I started being more honest and then I changed my name and now this is who I am.
Wow.
It's been kind of fun.
I love it. And I love how that marker of changing your name, I think it seems like was very well set up for you by kind of associating your middle name with your creative self.
I would always say I want to go by Ileana because that's the artist part of me. But there were all these other outside forces telling me it was pretentious or, you know, it would hurt my mom's feelings. It didn't hurt my mom's feelings. She's fine. So yeah, I did it.
I love that. Well, and even just that you're naming that all of the voices that go on and tell us about who we are and who we are not and who we should be and who we should not be. Because that's a lot of the work that I do with people around work, because work is always about identity. And so we quickly stop talking about jobs and start talking about those voices and how they help us and how they harm us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you've gone to battle there before.
Ongoing, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. So I feel like there's so many layers to your journey, but I think I'm just, again, struck by, I guess, a few things. One is that it seems like embroidery would be one of the most difficult mediums to express feeling in. And I'm really curious about that because it, to me, seems very tedious and hard. And it's, I don't know, like you can't just like get it out. I mean, maybe you can, but you have a feeling. It's not like you can just like grab a paintbrush and make some big marks on a canvas and feel different. You know, it's much more small movements and lots of tiny, tiny little stitches that add up to something. I'm curious about that process and that form of expression. And I'm also curious of what, like, where did your artist self find expression prior to discovering stitching?
Well, in terms of the process of embroidery, it is extremely tedious. And in some ways, because I have a job that I love that is not embroidery, I can afford to make art that is not intended to be sold. Mm-hmm. So I can, and we can all relate to them in all these ways.
We all have feelings about them.
Yes. So many complicated feelings. Uh-huh. Yes. So I do find it to be a really flexible thing to use to express whatever. But in terms of the tediousness, that is, I think, mostly about how making, whatever it is, and this is the biggest one for me, making is what keeps me sane. And so making, embroidering, drawing, whatever it is what keeps me, keeps my anxiety in check, keeps me feeling like I take up a worthy spot in the world. So that process, the more tedious in a lot of ways, the better. It's not about the product. And often I don't finish stuff. Not often. I'm pretty prolific. But it doesn't matter if I don't finish because, you know, I got 12 hours of sitting and stitching and just calming down the parts of my brain that are, you know, telling me that I'm a failure or whatever it is that my brain is telling me. So it's mostly therapy. The process is the most important part. So, you know, there's a planning stage where I'll draw the embroidery. And then once it's, and that's exciting. That's like 2 or 3 hours of who knows what's going to come out of this. But then it's 40 hours of the same tiny chain stitch or whatever, you know, and you just like, I injured my hand recently from doing too many chain stitches because it was the biggest project I've ever done. It took months and it was, I was wearing braces by the end on both arms, but the process was so important. And it's just, you know, when you're doing a piece about something heavy and you can just pour the heaviness into this tiny little stitch, it's so satisfying and it's so healthy. And I'm so grateful that I found that at kind of an early age. You can tell if I haven't made anything in a while, like if it's been 2 days and I haven't been alone making, I'm kind of a jerk.
I love that you say a while and then it's only 2 days. I was like 3 months or something.
No, it's like, if it's not every day, and there's been times where I'm so busy, I'll just sit there and I'll be like, I haven't made in 2 days and I'm busy the next 4 days. And it's extremely upsetting because I just know I'm not my best self unless I have this time to just, even if it's repetitive, you know, in this comic book, I just was painting my hair over and over and over. It's just boring filling in of a certain shade of black and 6 hours of that. And I'm right as rain.
Wow. I love it.
That's the important part. And then people seem to respond to what I make. So I don't, it seems to portray or convey some kind of emotional reaction. It does something. I don't have lots to say about that. I know what I put into it. I used to be sneaky about it and people still felt things. And now I'm not sneaky about it. And before embroidery, I don't know. I mean, it really was something. It's something I've always done. It's always been part of my life. My mom taught me when I was very young. So I've always been able to do it, but it was, you know, like the dish towel with a bird on it. And that's not exciting to me. So it really was when I graduated in college from college when I was 22 that I started doing this. But before that, I don't know. I was always in an art class. And if I didn't take an art class, I was pretty miserable.
There you go. Interesting.
One semester in college that I did not take an art class and I had a mental breakdown.
Wow.
It's very important.
Yeah, yeah.
And in some sense, it doesn't feel like a choice, which is fine. It's fine with me.
I love how much it is that you do it for you. And that even, you know, previous to getting on this call and having this conversation, I looked at your art and felt like, I felt lots of things, but like I could tell, you know, there's themes of body and sexuality, and wondered where that was coming from in you, and wondered if it was intended primarily, like how much of it is provocative versus how much of it is process oriented, as you're saying. And I think what I'm really struck by is it feels like it's so much more about your own process and not, you know, rather than the other way around,
yeah.
Which I think is interesting.
I think I would be upset if someone only thought it was provocative. That's actually never, like, to hear you say it is kind of jarring.
Yeah.
Like, kind of upsetting that could be how it comes across.
Totally.
I mean, you know, without context, it's possible, but like, it's so much about, like, this is all I have is this body. This is the only way that I know how to express anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just trying my best here.
Totally. And I don't mean that. I don't know. Maybe provocative is, I think, I feel like I need to like put more words around that because I'm like,
I'm not actually offended. It's nudity. Like, it's nudity and sexuality. That is the term we use.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I feel like I'm just like this tiny human sitting in my tiny bedroom, just doing these tiny stitches. Like,
yeah.
Don't read your own stuff into this. Yours.
And I think that's what's really super interesting about it. Yeah. And so I think I'm also just really struck by how good the goodness that you find in it. Like, as you're sharing, just that you need it for your sanity. And I think I'm just really struck by, like, well, thank goodness you have that. Like, what a gift your art is to you, let alone to the people that are, you know, that we get to be moved by it in the many ways. Yeah.
It's interesting because to look back on my adolescence or my late childhood, early adolescence, it was definitely my escape. And it was, you know, go down to the basement and just be alone. And there's pain in that because, you know, we all have trauma and I was escaping my own. But I'm so grateful for it. You know, the beginnings are sad, but this is the best thing that ever happened to me.
I love that. I love that so much. Yeah. And I think I also just love how when you're talking about where you started, you're like, well, I started by cross-stitching my nude body, like so foreign to me as a place to start, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it speaks to just how therapeutic it is and how it's a space, a really, I think, sacred space, it sounds like.
Yeah. And as a 22-year-old exploring sexuality, it was a hard thing not to think about at the time.
Yeah.
So it's intertwined with all different parts of my life.
Yeah. I'm curious about, well, I think along with that, I think I'm struck by and curious about just the courage that you have to share such personal work.
Not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I was always cryptic in the past. So it's new and it's uncomfortable, to be honest. And especially with these comics that I'm writing now, they're brutally honest. And I have to keep reminding myself that if it doesn't feel like I'm tearing my body open, then what's the point? You know, if it's not uncomfortable, you're not doing it right. So anyone can embroider puppies and rainbows. I'm not interested.
It's true.
That's not the stuff that I am interested in. You know, in terms of comics, the comics that I love are graphic memoirs and personal narratives that hurt. And it's so amazing to see what people are willing to talk about. And I, you know, I'm not going to pick up the everything is beautiful and perfect stuff.
Yeah,
And I feel like we so often forget to talk about what's hard in life. And when someone is willing to have a real conversation with you, even if it's through an art piece and they're not there, that's so much more meaningful. And it makes me feel less crazy.
Yeah. Well, it seems like by doing it through the art, it's like the art becomes a container for the experience in some ways. Like, I can have an experience with you through your art that is maybe safer for both of us than, you know, than just like, let's talk about, you know, some real deep, crazy stuff.
Yeah, you can put this down and walk away if you need
to. Yeah, exactly. And you can choose what to share and what not to share through your work.
Yeah. I do feel, I mean, this is probably very common, but I definitely came from a family where you don't talk about problems. And I don't think that worked very well for any of us. So I'm just making something new.
I love it. And again, just, I'm so, I think, just moved by your courage. You're a very courageous woman.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. I think I imagine myself creating things as vulnerable as you create. And I find myself quickly shutting down, thinking about all the fears that I'd have, what other people would think, and, you know, what family would say. And how do you navigate that? Navigate those voices?
I definitely do some censorship, especially with my family.
Yeah.
But, you know, my parents aren't on social media very much, so that makes that easy.
Yeah.
I guess I have this idea that as long as I'm not there when people are reading these things or looking at these things, then I can kind of keep my barriers up. So at the last art show that I had, my mom came and I just kind of talked to other people and then said goodbye. And as long as I wasn't there while she was reading things that had to do with her, then I could pretend like I didn't need to address it.
Yeah.
It's my story. These are my stories, you know, and that's something that I try to be very careful with, is to only tell my story. And as long as I am telling my story and being as honest as I can to my experience, then it should be okay. You know, I try not to do things in general that I believe to be cruel. And, you know, I mean, I mess up like everybody else, but there's not a lot of things in my life that I wouldn't want people to know about. And so if it's true, it's my story, you know, and my parents and I are learning to talk about harder things. And there's really not many other people who there are, of course, romantic relationships where you kind of think, please don't see this ever. or like, I kind of hope you see this.
Yeah.
which is its own thing, but I haven't really had to deal with very much of that yet. And again, I won't be there. If the people see it, maybe it's none of my business at that point. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. And there have been days where I have read things I have written and just like had to walk away because I can't believe I would ever say what I'm saying to the world. But then, you know, the next day it's okay because I cried the whole day before. So now we're good.
Now we're good.
Process this. Now I can put it in the world. You know, and I'm very small scale. Like the people who buy my artwork, I know them and that feels safe. And maybe that will change. I would like that to change, but it's still very safe.
Thank you for entertaining that question. Yeah. Something that you mentioned earlier that it feels really important to come back to is that you love your job and that you get to do that. And then you get to do your art. And it felt like those are like kind of two kind of separate parts of, which I'm sure they're not totally separate, but a lot of people either want to bring those two together or figure out how to, you know, quit their job to just live on their art. And, which I don't want to imply that wouldn't be a dream in some ways, but I think I was just really struck by the contentment I felt in that when you said, yeah, I love my job and then I do my art.
Yeah. Well, my job is very supportive of the art. I don't think a lot of other situations would work so well, but I run a small preschool out of my house, so I'm home, mm-hmm. which is enormously useful. It's very, very small. and I know all the parents. It's a very sweet community. And I think preschoolers are the coolest age child. I become less interested when they get older. But preschoolers are great. And, you know, in a lot of ways, the last 5 years have been enormously informative for me in terms of my lack of politics. And I've learned a lot. And so I get to help raise these children who I have a huge yard. So they're spending tons of time outside. And that's such a problem with children these days. So that already feels magnificent. But because it's at my house and we play outside so much and then they take naps and they like to draw and I like to draw. And so it's very conducive to being able to work on projects sometimes.
I love it.
Yeah. And it's a short day. So I have enormous amounts of time and I'm already home and that's where I want to be anyway. So
that's great.
Yeah. I'm really lucky.
How long have you been doing the preschool?
I've been doing it from my house for 5 years, I think. I think around 5 years now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you, previous to the preschool, have entrepreneurial business, you know, any sort of dreams in that direction?
Not at all. But I found myself in a community, including my sister, of people having babies and needing that. And so, I mean, I babysat a lot in high school and in college, and then my own family needed childcare, and it kind of fell into my lap.
So yeah.
Strange series of events, but it's enormously conducive to the time that I have for art.
I love it.
You know, and the kids are curious when they see me drawing pictures, and then they want to draw their own pictures, and we draw pictures of our families. And
fun.
Yeah, it's good.
That's great. So I'm curious how you think about work and meaning, about calling, you know, those kinds of words and how they play out in your work and in your life.
As I said earlier, this doesn't feel like a choice, which maybe fits into it. Well, I don't know. I guess I hesitate because in some ways to say, and this is playing into the complications of being an artist, uh-huh, is that it feels selfish to say this is my calling. You know, yeah. sitting around alone putting something on a piece of paper is my calling feels strange to say out loud, but being a healthy person in the world is a very worthwhile job.
It's a good pursuit. Yeah.
So maybe it's not so bad to find a calling there, but I don't know. It fits into a bigger picture of just wanting to be a good and honest human.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I need the work. I don't really know how to explain it other than to say I have to do this.
Well, yeah. I don't know that you don't. I don't know. I don't think you need to explain it any more than that. And so don't feel like you need to.
That's just who I am.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think if it moves you and if it does something for you that you need, then it's meaningful, you know? Yeah. And so I think that in and of itself is enough of a, enough of a response. Do you feel, I guess I wonder about, so you're working on a comic book, which you said you're nearing completion on,
yes,
which is exciting. And like, I guess my question is, you know, with the comic book and beyond, like, what are your hopes for your art?
Well, in my dream of dreams, I would publish this book. I don't even know what that means. It's amazing that I was able to figure out how to Skype you. when I say I have to edit a page, it's literally cutting and pasting, like it's, you know, scissors and glue. So I can't even comprehend what it means to publish a book, but I'm gonna finish it before I worry about that. So I would love to write more comic books. I didn't know that this was something I would love. And I had always talked about writing a comic book about being a kid one day. And then I wrote this comic about getting divorced instead. And I'm so grateful for that narrative to be dramatic enough to give me a comic book out of it. But I also, I took about 8 months off of the book once I finished drawing it before painting it. And in that time, I started drawing little tiny zines or mini comics. I still don't know what I want to call them. And I want to do more of those because, when you have 8 pages, you can spend a lavish amount of time on them. But when you have 600 pages, you're like, ugh, I'm tired of this. Like, okay, I'm just drawing myself again and again. And like, here I am sad and I'm not sad anymore. Okay, we're done. But so I've been writing these mini comics and they end up being, of course, about like what else is there except like my parents' death and anxiety? Like that's what it is. And I think they're really beautiful and relatable and dramatic, which is part of who I am as well. And so I would like to draw more comics.
Yeah.
And I would really like to write a comic about being a kid because I had some pretty neat things happen that I think would be conducive to a great story.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to get back into embroidery, but I have had to take a lot of time off because of embroidery injuries, which are the most embarrassing kind of injury because you really shouldn't have to be soaking your arms and wearing braces because of chain stitch.
I could imagine like carpal tunnel or, a lot of wrist movements. It's hard on the wrists.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing. Like when the kids come in the morning and they see me in these braces and the parents are like, oh, did you fall? Like, no, I just stitched for 4 hours yesterday and now I'm having fun. I'm still taking some time off.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. This feels good and it's a good balance. And I like that I am being open and honest. That's a good development in my early 30s that I appreciate. Yeah. So I don't have anything loftier than that because, again, the goal isn't really, there's no end goal.
Yeah.
So I want to keep drawing. I want to keep stitching. I have a small ceramic studio in my garage. I want to keep playing with clay.
Yeah.
Just want to keep doing these things, but mostly because it feels good to do it.
Yeah. I think, I love that you just hold it so openly, like that this is what it is now and it's great. And I think I just love that posture. And I think along with that, I just totally lost my train of thought. Where'd it go? Oh, it was about honesty and how it feels like that's kind of been like a guiding force for you as a move, like moving towards more honesty. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm really struck by that as well. It seems like a good guide for life and decisions and choices. So
it's useful. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's It's not always easy, but it's definitely always in the long run. It's certainly always easier.
That's great. I'm curious, as people listening, a lot of people who listen to the show are, they're all asking questions of in some way or another about work and meaning. And I like to often, I feel very attentive to those people in the audience that might feel really stuck in some way or uncertain of what to do next, or maybe just the voices are too loud and it's hard to find their own voice amongst them. And I'm curious what thoughts, if any, that you'd have to offer those folks.
Well, in some ways I have enormous privilege to do this, which might just sound frustrating.
But it's also, it's important. It's important to name.
Definitely. Yeah. I am extremely lucky. I don't know. I think this isn't really that useful when we are bogged down by things like car payments and mortgages, but we do put so much into money and success. I just had this conversation with my best friend and we were talking about the need to redefine success. What is a successful life? And I think that we put so much in terms of what we own, and I'm much more interested in our relationships. I don't know, maybe that's like, I lead a simple life.
Yeah.
I do own my home, but it is very small. Mm-hmm. And, I don't make very much money, but it's enough. And I don't need to make more. This is working. Hmm. So,
I love that.
Maybe there's a compromise to be made with
Yeah.
downsizing to free up time, because ultimately that is much more valuable. But it's hard. It's hard when you have kids and you need the money.
Yeah. But I think, you know, your invitation to redefine success, I think, is an important one. And to, along with that, is to consider, I guess, what your own definition of success is, and maybe where the definition of success that you're living under, you know, where that has come from, if it isn't your own. I think that there's some freedom to be found in that.
I'm the daughter of an academic, and he's, you know, nearing retirement, and just to think about the world for him in, like, in the start of his field in the 70s and like all these doors that open because of the specific world that he was born into versus that. I mean, I'm not an academic and I never will be, but just thinking of my peers who are, and it's a very different world. But again, life is about a process and not an end goal. So this fits into, you know, like, my success is I stitched for 73 hours last month. That works for me. And I was a good person to the people that I'm in various relationship with, you know. I was a better teacher and a better friend and a better mom to my cat because I took care of myself.
I love it. I love it.
That's success.
That's great. Well, thank you for that. And I think people will find a fair amount of encouragement in that. If people are, you know, just as we move towards wrapping up, people are just really interested in following your work, maybe reading your comic book someday when it comes out.
Oh, God.
Where could they follow along? Are there any specific action steps you'd like to invite them to?
I do have a website. However, these days I'm mostly using Instagram, for better or for worse. So my Instagram is m_Ileana_art. And I'm trying to post often to try to figure out this whole social media selling of yourself, but it's very weird.
It is.
There's old embroideries and new stuff. And
awesome. Yeah. Well, I'll make sure to link up to that in the show notes as well, so people can follow along. But thank you so much for your time and your openness and entertaining all of my questions. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, this was fun.
Thank you so much, Ileana, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this conversation. I hope that you found Ileana just as insightful and inspiring as I did. I just loved her perspective on that interplay between work that pays money and art that fuels and feeds her soul. And I do hope that you can take aspects of this conversation and apply them to your own life, your own work, your own process. If you'd like to find out more about Ileana, you can go ahead and click through to the show notes at themeaningmovement.com/Ileana. That's Ileana. Before we go today, just a couple quick notes. First, I'm so excited to announce that we have a brand new website over at themeaningmovement.com. Brand new design. There's a few things I still need to work out and fine tune, but please stop by and check it out. Love to hear your thoughts. It's much more clean and easier to navigate, easier to read, easier to find the things that you want to find on the site. Secondly, if you are listening to this and you've had any amount of joy, inspiration, encouragement from it, please leave a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. And iTunes is particularly helpful, but anywhere on the web is helpful. That's how listeners like yourself find this show and get access to great conversations like the one today. With that, just to wrap up, our artwork is by Eleazar Ruiz. Our music is by Tom Roram of the band Lowlands. And thank you so much for listening in. I'll see you next week.